let Kyle do our true cold open. Hello.
Oh my God.
And welcome to the Cube Corn Gamers podcast. My name is Dustin Morbido. I am live here with human beings.
Wow.
I can touch Bill. I can touch Kyle.
I want all the high fives right now. Let's go.
Right, yeah. Hey, give me a high five. We did it.
We did
it.
We're twitching.
We pressed the flesh, literally.
Ew.
What, have you ever heard that? That's a phrase.
It's not creepy.
It's what salespeople say. Yeah, they're like, hey, you got to get out there. And
also, like, wow, I've been in person with you this entire time, and you're just like, finally, at last, it's good again.
Justin and Lorraine have been on separate floors of the house.
That's right.
You're quarantining.
I haven't pressed the man flesh recently. How does that make you feel, Lorraine?
Accurate.
Just get some Texas toast, Dustin. My God.
Okay. Speaking of Texas toast, there's other...
How is that a segue to anything?
I'll get there. We've got people here for real. We're in Phil's house. It's great. It's just still nice to
it's a beautiful day.
See people again. It's a
beautiful hot day though.
Yeah, it's a little steamy, but you know, whatever.
You ran around, got some skin cancer, maybe.
Maybe
summer's
maybe sunscreen. We're
summer's
responsible
coming.
Adults.
We bathed in sunscreen today.
I
reek of sunscreen and sweat. It's delicious.
I need to get more sunscreen. Rain. Our bottle is. The sunscreen that we still have is probably expired. We could use some more.
But I think it's
we were talking about that earlier. Pretty sure that sunscreen doesn't expire, at least takes a while.
Okay, well, hopefully.
Here's my thing. If you squeeze the tube and it comes out in, like, the
wrong texture.
If it started, like, nice and viscous and it still seems that way, it's probably still good. That's probably right.
The closer to organic it is,
you gotta shake it.
Sooner you need to replace
it. Yeah, right, to let it separate.
Starts settling, you know, that's no good.
Fancy olive oils or whatever. Make sure that's all nice.
Your skin.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to help.
That's what I did today. Just put a bunch of vegetable oil on my body.
Pretty sure that's what sunscreen's made out of. Just,
you
know,
some of that
old fryer
hot
oil.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, joining me today in person, Philip McGrath's here.
Hello, Dustin. It's really good to see you.
It is. It's awesome.
It's always good.
I'm excited about it. Kyle McGrath is here.
High fives!
More high fives!
He's on the high five high.
That's right. It's been a while. And as always, my compatriot, my partner, Lorraine Morbido, is here.
The afterthought.
That's not true at
that's
all.
That's not true.
The person you live with.
There's somebody that hasn't even been mentioned yet in this
room. And joining us, right, joining us not on a mic specifically, he might chime in from a distance a little bit. Wade McGrath is here. He's in the room.
There's your afterthought.
Not quite at the table.
That's not
after woo.
He just said woo.
Air escaping the folds of my fat.
Yeah. Wade's 2% body fat. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Right. But I mean, keep putting those fast breaks in, and you get that number up.
Anyway, speaking of food, this is the one. So,
another segue.
Well, when I was talking about the other day, when I was talking about just like watching the stupidest shit on YouTube, I watched a bunch of videos of the Avengers Land that opened in the Disney California Park this weekend.
Right,
it opened as of yesterday, I think, or Friday.
The one they can't have in Disney World?
Right, the one they can't have in Disney. The one they're legally bound for putting in Disney World. It's a total, like, some of it looks kind of awesome. Some of it looks totally, like, absurd. And then, like, some of it is just like, eh. But, maybe the funniest, like, the thing, I was like, oh, that's great. I'm glad you guys did this about it, is that the restaurant in that area is an Ant-Man-themed restaurant where the food is weird sizes.
Cool.
Like, awesome. There's a chicken sandwich that, like, the chicken part is, like, huge and the bun is, like, a slider bun.
That just sounds inconvenient. That's just the way it is for a reason.
There's a salad that is, it's just like one big stalk of lettuce and like a huge crouton.
All right, I'm in for big crouton. It's not about like the food being easy to eat. It's a gimmick. It's an experience.
Right, exactly. Like, I'm totally on board. Like, look, if you want to
eat a chicken sandwich without bread.
No, it's just like
it's fried chicken. Like, I'm like, I wouldn't eat it with my hands.
Okay.
Like, there's that much chicken.
It's
but
not
you need to eat a fork and a knife.
You say you didn't eat a double down?
I never did.
Yeah, I never did.
I did.
That's true.
It was gross.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's like the eggs in the Avatar stir fry that we got in Disney.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
I didn't realize you went to that land.
We did.
That was one of the best parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that meal was
cool.
The best one I think we had inside a theme park.
Yeah, easily.
Is that the one that has like the Yeti excursion roller coaster or whatever?
It's
in the same
Animal
park.
Kingdom,
they're
both
in the same park. That was a good roller coaster.
I've heard it's good.
It's a good roller coaster. Yeah. And the Avatar ride we went on was pretty good. I heard the other one wasn't great.
Yeah,
we didn't
that's what
go on
I heard.
It.
Yeah.
That whole area was really impressive, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last time I went to Disney World, that wasn't a thing yet.
No. Yeah, no kidding.
Or the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Especially the Star Wars. But
man,
except
how much
kingdom.
We lucked out with that Star Wars
really.
Ride.
Yeah.
Like, in particular.
Right.
It was wild.
Now I want to go to Florida.
Let's go.
Yeah, we could do, and I was going to say, we could do that, or we could do California, or we could do both at some point.
They put in a new roller coaster at the Universal Studios, like, the Jurassic Park theme roller coaster. Apparently, it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
that was under construction.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. It's like the next gen Maverick, basically, because it's like the same manufacturer
company,
and like similar like launching tech.
You take that technology an extra 15 years.
Right, exactly.
And put dinosaurs
on it. And put dinosaurs on it.
I know.
I'm all about any of that shit. In fact, we should totally go to. We should go to California when they do the Nintendo stuff out there.
Yeah, whatever that. Because
that's still like.
That's
being
away.
Built. Like, yeah. it's much more built than the Florida version, because they, like, just started breaking ground on that shit again.
Uh-huh.
Like a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. But they never stopped building stuff in Hollywood, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be open at some point.
The Japan one had a couple of stumbling blocks.
But it did open. Like, it's open now.
Yeah.
Lorraine will be remiss to hear that most of the food at that restaurant has mushrooms in it. Like, it's that Mario themed. Which, like, I wonder if they'll bring that over to the U.S. Like,
I doubt it.
Like, because the U.S. theme park palette is like Disney restaurants are like half and half, where like some of them have like fancy food and then some of them still just sell like fucking
hot
chicken
dogs.
Tenders or whatever.
Right, yeah.
The pointly weekly update on what is healthy and what's not, apparently if you eat like 3 mushrooms a day, you reduce your risk of getting cancers in half, like all cancers.
Okay.
So eat your mushrooms, kids.
Never.
Including your psychedelic mushrooms, which reduce the risk of depression.
I didn't read the article, so I'm just going to assume those are
reduces your risk of thinking about getting cancer.
Pondering.
I got a lot of other shit in my mind.
Cancer.
Mind over matter, man.
Uh-huh. But,
mind doesn't matter.
Yeah, that Avengers world seems crazy, because there's like they're doing what they did with Star Wars, which is like they opened with the way less impressive ride that cost less money.
Okay.
And this is the thing that has me dismayed about the whole thing, is that like pre-COVID they had like a slide deck of like, and here's how this other ride's gonna be, and it's gonna be huge and crazy, and you're gonna be super impressed. And then now they don't even mention that they're gonna build it anymore.
Ooh, okay. Well,
so I'm assuming it'll be based on attendance whether they actually complete the fucking thing.
Yikes.
Or maybe it was just removed entirely for like logistical
reasons. Yeah, because there's like a facade of like an Avengers HQ building that has a Quinjet on top of it.
Uh-huh.
And right now they use it for like stunt shows, but it's also supposed to be the entrance to this other ride that they used to call out specifically is like, yeah, phase 2 will include this other attraction. And now no one has brought it up like since last year.
Avengers Amusement Park. Phase 2.
You only get half.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
I definitely hope the fucking actors they have in there are being relatively well compensated, because that's mostly what's there right now. There's like there's one Spider-Man ride and then like a ton of meet and greets and shows and stuff.
I mean, that's mostly what Disney World is,
right?
Yeah, right.
Including, but these are like these people doing more than like Mickey Mouse. Like, they don't just wave at you
like
and then take a picture. Like, Spider-Man does little somersaults and shit, and fucking. The people in the stunt show, like Black Widow, hangs upside down from the ceiling at one point.
Cool.
So I'm like, I'm just hoping, like, you know, that's worth more than hand waving money to
any of
do that
shows,
shit.
You gotta pay more than just the guy running around in a stormtrooper outfit.
Uh-huh.
At Disney World, the Tinkerbell that like flies across the area gets paid extra, but not enough.
Right.
Well, I'm assuming that's the case across the board.
And then the other thing is there's like the main stunt show thing that takes place on that platform is Black Widow and Black Panther fighting the Taskmaster.
I
was like, he's not even in the MCU. And then I was like, but he's almost certainly in the Black Widow movie. That's gotta be what's up with that.
I mean, that's been kind of known for
years. But I didn't put that together. I was like, oh, that movie should have been out by now. And it isn't.
Right, yeah.
Soon.
I don't even know what the date on that is, but it's in July.
So.
And
weeks away.
It's roughly a month out.
Loki's in less than a week.
Yeah, well,
it's in like 3 days.
Next Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Man, Friday. I'm stoked.
Yeah, and then apparently that Spider-Man ride is kind of eh. Although they hard sell you on the accessories though.
As you
walk out of the like exit like towards the gift shop or whatever, they just have like a series of screens that are like top scores today, this hour, this month, and they have little icons showing which like buffs you had from which merch you brought in with you.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, they're not fucking around with trying to like turn you upside down and shake all the money out of your pockets.
I just hope that doesn't become the norm for
here's the two things about it that like I'm amazed by and that bum me out. The part that bums me out is that, and especially because you can tell that like even the narrative of that attraction, it's like, oh, Peter Parker built a little spider robot, and it's self-replicating, and it makes a bunch of spider robots. You have to catch them all with webs.
Hmm.
And then as soon as you get out of that ride, you go into a gift shop that sells hundreds of spider robots and, like, skins for them so you can make them look like Iron Man or whatever. And, like, oh, okay. I see what you guys did. You said, we need to make an expensive product and then build an experience around
yeah,
it.
Right, exactly.
I understand.
That feels right.
Yeah.
And, like, that's shitty in a vacuum anyway, but if the ride is compromised for it, if it's not a fun ride as a result, then
yeah,
that's even shittier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like people buy the shit anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, people
exactly.
like people like Pirates of the Caribbean and they get out of the ride and buy a t-shirt. Like, it's...
Right.
Like, if people like the thing that they did, they'll give you some fucking money. Like, you don't have to be that deliberate about
ride.
The whole thing.
I wish I had a t-shirt that said that.
It doesn't actually exist.
And, no, we'd have to make it.
Uh-huh.
It was part of one of our TKOs for sure.
But then the other... So that part kind of bums me out. But then mm-hmm. the other part that seems like they did a really good job is just, like, some of the set dressing in general. Like, so, like, that restaurant doesn't need to be as pointlessly themed as it is. But, oh, that seems real good. There's the way that you meet Spider-Man is, like, the craziest thing I've ever seen. Where he, like, a person in a suit comes out, and he's, like, on top of a building, and he's, like, waving, and they have candle dialogue from, why am I forgetting his name?
Tom Holland.
Toby, yeah, it's just, like, pre-recorded.
Tobey Maguire.
Pre-recorded dialogue of him saying, hey, what's up, guys?
Blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh. And then he does, like, a few somersaults or whatever. And then he's like, I'm going to come down and meet you all. And he walks off set. And then they have a slingshot that throws a Spider-Man robot over the ceiling of the building. And it, like, does this and does a backflip. And then lands in, like, a net on the other side where you can't see it. And then a second Spider-Man robot crawls down the wall of the building, and then the stage actor walks out from the ground. Yeah,
that's
it's like
what I want to pay for.
It's
like
absolutely unbelievable. So I'm like, how did you fuck up like one part of this so badly and do this?
Right,
and it's probably
yeah.
just because the teams on them are so different,
yeah,
and
right.
the budgets are like it costs less to make a really good ride than it does to do that. But like,
and one of those, they were like, how do we monetize this as heavily as we can? And the other was, let's just make
a
cool
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, but I was
right.
like, holy shit, guys, goddamn. And then it made me wonder how many Spider-Man robots are back there, and what's it like to be the guy who has to go pick the Spider-Man robot up and walk it back across
right.
the roof of this building to reload it
uh-huh.
to like throw it through the air next hour or whatever.
How many have they lost during this process?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Every time it misses its mark, right?
We didn't
calibrate.
The calibration on the slingshot was off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other. I would love to be there where it doesn't animate, where it like does whatever the flying robot equivalent of a T pose is. It's just like, like I'm there for that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh, and then the last really weird, because like I said, it's mostly show stuff. It's that so you can meet the ladies from Black Panther. What's the guard?
Dora Milaje.
Yeah, Dora
uh-huh.
Milaje. They come out and hang out, and they're like, "Hey, folks," and they leave. And then there's a Doctor Strange show where he just does street magic.
That's awesome.
Like that's just what they had him do. Like he literally is like, "I got a ring, and then I'm gonna put in a handkerchief, and now it's gone." I'm gonna pull this really tall stick out of a really short thing, and it's like, yeah, it was like even I was like even for Disney World, as like hokey as it is, this is some pretty hokey shit, but it is very funny.
I like that.
I mean, I get the through line. Like, I understand how that got pitched, and someone was like, yeah, totally. That'll cost us next to nothing. Is about right.
People do magic.
It's magic.
Yeah,
it's an illusion.
So that's what's going on with that stuff. And then like just like the volume of people, because it's like everyone who's ever been in the MCU at all, it seems like is wandering out of costume there at some point, including
okay.
like you can both Captain America's, like they're just
yeah.
both there. Like you can meet
Got
Sam Wilson or Steve Rogers on any given afternoon, I guess.
But not the other guy.
Well, yeah, probably not. I'm assuming no.
That's a deep cut, even now.
Mm-hmm.
I've already kind of forgotten his name. What was his name? Bradley?
Walker?
No.
Walker.
John Walker. I was talking about the...
Oh, the first one.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
Whatever.
It hasn't been that long.
It's only a month ago, and I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But yeah, that shit seems crazy. But it did get me in the mood for... like summer. I was like, okay, theme park stuff.
Yeah, right. We've been thinking about Cedar Point recently, and
I really want to go.
I mean, I want to go too.
Yeah, like I said, mostly I just want to go vibe.
Yeah, me too.
Kind of want to go hang out.
That's my life right now. I just want to go out and do stuff. I don't really, I'm not picky about it.
I'm back on the, I know Brian's kind of been trying to, I'm back on the, like, back on the weight loss train, because it's,
it's time to get back out there.
Yeah, I put on about, like, 25, 30 pounds over the course of the pandemic. I've lost about 5 of it in the last couple weeks. But
make it a habit and it gets easier.
Yeah.
Brian, bless him, every single time I ask him to work out with me, he says, okay.
That's good.
And he shows up.
But yeah, for me, it's always just a struggle of, on top of the pandemic shit, it's just a struggle of, like, I find it real, we've talked about this not when we're on here, but I find it really hard to exercise indoors. Like, if it's nice out, I have no problem getting out there and just going for a little walk or whatever, but.
Right.
I just personally find it hard to be motivated to just, like, do something in the house. It's just harder for me.
I don't use my exercise bike as much anymore, and, you know, I'm just glad it's nice enough out. We can run around outside.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that.
I better walk just adapting my diet.
That was the thing. Like, that was directly a cause of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, I'm not doing anything that I want to do, except I guess I can
miserable.
Eat. I'm just going to eat whatever I want just because I feel like shit, so... It certainly hasn't served me well over the last 12 months or whatever.
And those can be different things that work in hand sometimes, but, like, you can eat badly and still work out just to be a little bit healthier, or you can eat healthier so that you lose weight and not work out.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can both.
Like, both halves of those is, like, me. I eat like garbage, but I work out enough and have a decent amount of portion control that...
That's mostly where
I'm
at.
You also probably have, like, a pretty good metabolism, just in general. I don't know.
You're doing okay.
Yeah.
I'm not doing bad, but I don't know if
if you're controlling your portions, then...
Yeah.
But again, that's a slippery... You know, you just gotta make sure that you're trying to do the best you can in any given moment.
For
and,
sure.
Like, not dwell on it too hard, because if you...
Especially the last year.
Yeah, if you really dial in on numbers and get obsessive about it, that's when shit can get scary.
Yeah, you don't want to
have
to
overcalories. Yeah, I've never been able to get that.
Right, I can estimate.
I can count it and be healthy about it, but you just don't want it to become something that consumes you.
Well, yeah.
Our
it
mom
can be
just,
such a bad thing.
Yeah, it can be very negative for you mentally. But our mom just switched to a vegan diet at the recommendation of doctors. Mm-hmm. So.
For other, more extraneous reasons than just like...
Right, she's not trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
Just being healthier. But I've considered switching just like in solidarity with her.
Mm-hmm.
Evan did too. He gave up all the same shit she did except for alcohol.
That's real nice.
She says, I have to watch him drink wine. But
you'll never take away my cheese.
That's right.
She eats a little bit of cheese. She says she cheats a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, vegan versus vegetarian is a whole different ballgame, man.
Yeah.
Like
it's
I don't know if I could ever do vegan.
I've been a vegetarian before.
A lot of potato chips.
Vegan.
Right, yeah.
The mac and chips.
The thing I'll substitute for most of my meat is probably cheese and eggs.
Yeah, right.
And
we were just talking about this. Normally, if you're taking meat out of your diet, nuts are one of the best ways you can supplement it. Our mom is allergic to nuts.
That's true.
So she can't get protein from them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So,
that's
rough. I don't even know what the third option would be.
Beans.
Yeah, right.
You eat a lot of beans.
Yeah, any kind
of,
like, beans are actually pretty high protein.
Gross. Yeah, we had stuffed peppers the other day, and there were a lot of beans in them. They were really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to...
We should make some stuffed peppers.
Yeah, right. We've done that before.
It's
good.
Maybe I'll do that over my, like, extended off...
Yeah, I'm due for a grocery trip. We can go get some stuff.
But, we have peppers at home.
We do have a couple, but... I mean, we could use some other shit anyway.
Stuff the things you find in your fridge.
Anything, put food in anything if you try hard enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Ice cream.
I don't know about that.
Stuff your pepper with ice cream.
You know how people make, like, in cupcakes?
Uh-huh.
Do that with the pepper.
Lobster stuffed with tacos.
Yeah. That sounds better than any of these ice cream suggestions.
But yeah, I've been
ice cream cupcake.
Yeah, I've been on that train a little bit, and I'm mostly like trying to psych myself up for the next time we get to go do a big thing, like
right.
Just go. The Cedar Point will be a good start, and then from there to eventually like take a longer trip and go somewhere further away. And
I still want to rent a cabin.
Yeah, that would be very easy to do this year. I suspect. Really like,
and there's still always like my parents' place. Like we can always co-op that for sure.
Rent a big ass cabin.
That's fair. Big cabin.
Gonna say when we went up to Tennessee with mom,
that's what I was thinking.
Those cabins were real nice.
Yeah,
Tennessee.
We were in the Smoky Mountains.
All right.
It was like Pigeon Forge area. It's kind of a
Tennessee.
Well, they forge pigeons there.
Yeah, like a
birdsmith. No.
Hello, I'm birdsmith.
You could have gone to Dollywood.
Hey man, Dolly Parton fucking owns.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know too much about Dolly World, but
I've heard it's pretty good. I mean, it's very like. It's roller coisters and like
it's
not quite it's
day.
Not a Disney World, it's more like a Cedar Point.
Oh, it's a regional theme park. But.
There's a lot of parks out in the eastern area that I've never been to, like Percy Park.
Like everything else aside, I've you know, the outdoors is beautiful in Tennessee, I know that much. So
the last time we went, we just went like rafting and hiking the whole time, and then we'd come back and play board games and drink in the hot tub and
Like when we went to visit my aunt and uncle. That one of those times. Well, that was Kentucky, but technically we passed through.
Same shit.
We passed through a lot of stuff out there, but
it was after one of the regionals.
But just like the walking outside their front door was like, man, this is amazing.
I know.
It was beautiful nature everywhere.
I've looked at properties in that area, and I'm always like, how come nobody
so
I know lives here? And also, these areas suck because I would really like to live near this.
Yeah,
like, we're in a good spot here, Midwest,
for a lot of reasons,
real estate, but like. Kentucky, Tennessee, like that's even cheaper.
So cheap, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows what that's gonna be like in the future? It's a
right.
God damn, it's fucking country.
I mean, I was looking at houses this week, and there's stuff that I saw like, yeah, this sold for $70,000 10 years ago. Now it's $150,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Just described the building we're in.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, I describe every piece of property.
Yeah.
In America.
Right.
It makes, for what it's worth, I think you should wait a year.
Yeah right.
I'm considering selling. I'm starting the process of selling this condo.
So you're gonna sell to Kyle.
No,
I don't want it.
I've got a piece of property.
And then I'm going to rent a place.
Right, and bide your time.
And wait for everything to crash.
Yeah.
Because I think
if you think that's going to happen, like,
it's not
that option open. I'm just, you know,
in
an apartment for a year.
The level of fucked that things are right now, I would have to assume that it's a when, not an if.
Yeah.
So at some point,
but, you know, if it's next year, great. But if it's in 3-5 years,
that'd
be sooner than 5.
Yeah, I'd put a pretty hearty bet on sooner than 5. But who knows for sure, man.
It's put 50% odds and less than 1.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing there is like once something crazy happens, it still kind of remains to be seen how long and steep the fall off might be, because I still couldn't like, for as much as the government has like put it out on the fields to try to combat everything with COVID or whatever, like I couldn't begin to tell you what they may or may not be able to pass in terms of like relief or stimulus or whatever, like with a larger scale housing or economic crash again.
We'll just give more money to Amazon. It's fine. Jeff Bezos needs it, right? More than me?
Trump kept driving down rates as if we were in
a
catastrophe.
Just
when we were in one, we couldn't drive them down any lower.
As they get.
And now we're putting them back up a little bit over time. And there are a lot of people who lost a lot of money. People who don't have jobs but are no longer considered unemployed.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
People whose businesses have suffered. People who have had like rent relief or mortgage relief,
and it's
won't
not,
happen
it doesn't
soon.
Exist anymore.
And all
nobody's
those,
getting unemployment anymore.
All those bills come due soon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. It's gonna be a little nutty.
Yeah. And at the very least, even if none of that stuff happens, the dam that is the real estate system will break soon. In a way that floods the market with new homes.
Yeah, right. Cause eventually, like, even if you assume that, like, that a lot of this is people, like, trading sideways or trading up. Like, at some point, like, people will settle down with just, like, shifting their housing situation.
Uh-huh.
Like, that will happen, you'd think, if nothing else does, and at least stabilize things a little bit. But.
It's kind of like a housing bubble right now. but for different reasons, more reasonable than the last times. Wow. But it is a housing bubble, and people will start to sell when they start to see that their values are tapering off or dropping. Mm-hmm. And once they do, everything will start to sort of crash in the real estate market all at the same time, because everyone will want to sell.
I just assume that people that want to own property for the purpose of, you know, renting it or whatever, just keep buying it from each other to drive prices up, and that's what I've been seeing happening. But
a lot of properties being purchased by
stuff like that. Owners. You know, you can keep that circle going a long time before it gets too expensive.
And there's like new private investment these days that's buying stuff up that is a big, like, who the fuck knows,
international investors.
Yeah, like
it's like half our business.
I'm looking for a place to live, you know,
right? And that's really like this second.
How dare you live in my commodity,
right?
Like I was still too young. I was young enough that I wasn't looking to ever buy, like, property was not in, like, the next 5 years for me when the first, when in 2008, when the shit was going down that time.
But sweet to see.
But now that, like, you know, I'm older and just have had more experience in life in general, like, it's really had me start to rethink the entire concept of, well, hey, maybe we shouldn't focus the acquisition of wealth in America on just your house appreciating in value. Like, maybe we should rethink this whole experiment entirely, because this is clearly mostly serving the people who already own stuff, and mostly deprecating, like, it falls most harshly on the people who don't already own stuff.
Just like everything else, it turns out.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, there's the whole, like, at that point, like, when you talk about, like, zoning laws and stuff, about, like, you know, where they can and can't build, like, you know, big apartment complexes and shit like that, it's just, it's a lot of protectionism at the end of the day to make sure that, like, people in certain neighborhoods don't have their houses go down in value.
I don't know, dude. Timeline, I don't know what's going to happen with home prices, too, or values,
I
should say.
A long timeline, I assume it'll be just the way it's always been, it'll just keep going up.
The thing is, we're about to experience our first population decrease over a long period of time, and we're going to have more homes than people.
We already do.
Well, yeah, but it's going to
get worse.
So once that happens, you know, all of a sudden you're like, hey,
30 years from now, maybe.
That's what I'm thinking, right, exactly. So if your retirement is tied, the concept of you retiring is based on your home value.
Right, you sell your house and buy a small thing, retire in,
which
most, that might not
that's
work.
That's how most people do, and you might not be able to do that 20 years from now or 30 years from now.
Retirement.
Well, if you assume I'll live 30 years from now.
I'm saying retirement will be even more fucked than you currently think it will be.
Yeah, well,
diversify your portfolio is like one of the only
sandwiches.
Things.
Got
be conservative. Maybe
how's Dogecoin this week?
It's like 35 cents.
All right.
Which is still a lot more than the beginning of the year.
But it was like 3 cents.
AMC is a little bit down. People bet on BlackBerry really heavily, and then it immediately collapsed.
Okay, that was a meme stock among meme stocks. To me, at least.
Wade and I were talking about it a little bit. BlackBerry. It has a lot of software that they make that major car companies use. They're not really a phone company anymore.
Oh, and like the console type
things. Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they actually are probably undervalued, if anything, but the markets don't care what your company does your profitability.
Like, when this all exploded in February or whatever, it's like, AMC will still exist in a couple of years. GameStop might not disappear by the end of the year.
Tesla is overvalued by $1 billion, even though they've never turned a profit.
And
the only money they ever made was selling carbon credits to other automakers, and now other automakers are making their own electric cars. So.
Yeah, right. The Fords and the GMs of the world are, like, assuming that they stick to the shit that they propose, they're going to be... those fleets are going to be electrified within the next 15 to 20 years completely.
Yeah, right, exactly. They'll start rolling them out in the next couple of years for, you know, the electric F-150s soon.
Yeah,
five AAA batteries.
But Ford is worth, you know, $15 or whatever, and Tesla's worth hundreds.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, it's all...
It's not rooted
it's
in
all
reality.
Fabricated.
It's all exactly.
Smoke and mirrors and hype. Like, Elon Musk will tweet something fucking stupid, and
GM isn't sexy.
The stock will swing up or down $100 the next day or whatever.
Right. What do I want to crash today?
Yeah, I don't know, man. A lot of uncertainty.
Right.
I'm still investing, you know, 401ks and IRAs, and they'll do fine over time.
Probably. Most likely.
Yeah.
Or if you were to be safe and boring, you can invest in bonds and make $30 a year.
Right.
Interest rates go up, I guess you make a little more. And like you said, not many more secure investments than that. Not enormous returns, but, you know, you just want to park your money somewhere that will right. not diminish.
Do worse, I suppose. My dad did a lot of that early on when he was starting at Ford. They used to make it so you could like transfer just a portion of your paycheck into a bond.
Yeah.
So he and my grandpa did that a lot. Like.
Mm-hmm.
He got some in like our names too. There's a lot of weird nebulous money.
In like government bonds or yeah. like some weirder. Okay. Like very I was wondering safe. If it was some weirder like company. Bond. Yeah, company offer.
No, right. no, those are they're your bonds.
Sure.
I'd say for us at our age right now, 401ks are safe and will almost certainly go up. If they don't, it's because the whole economy, the whole country yeah. crashed, and you're not safe.
Yeah,
from that,
right.
No matter
that's
what
like
you
know.
Gold.
Look, I've also. I don't know. I mean, all right. I knew it was possible, but my my politics have continued to shift even more to the left over the course of the pandemic. But
I can relate to that.
But also, I'm not like at some point like you gotta at least bet on you gotta fight for what you think is the most righteous and to some degree bet on what you think is the most likely.
Yeah.
So you know, if you think the stock market will still be a big player in the way that America works 30 years from now.
Seems like
you should probably match. Right. It's, you should probably have some money in it in some form, whether it's like a 401k or an IRA or just like picking right. some individual stable businesses to invest in.
Uh-huh. Meme stock.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just but that said, also, that. You know, fight to destroy corporate America. That right. too.
It's called hedging your bets.
Yeah. 100% right. You gotta that's what they do on Wall Street.
Exactly. We'll either make a bunch of money or we'll green down.
Yeah, I'm like I said, as far as housing and stuff goes, I'm at the point like, man, why we shouldn't have landlords anymore?
Right.
Like, fuck this shit.
Absolutely. and the rent is like wild. But,
yeah. I've read some wild like ideas about like that was kind of what I was talking about before about like kind of. Redefining what it means to own property in the future, like crazy right. experimental, like I forget what they're even called, but the idea is that it's like a timeshare for living permanently, but like not shit.
Yeah,
where
right.
you basically like you buy equity in like a pool to like I'm gonna live somewhere in Southeast Michigan and I'm just gonna pay into a pool that lets me live someplace
right.
in perpetuity, and then eventually, you know, I will just be able to live there and have the value of this like
right.
This like housing voucher that I could like a home sell to someone later, and then
mm-hmm.
you know they could occupy a similar piece of property that is not tied to one specific plot of land or building or whatever.
Right, like more transferable equity.
Yeah.
How unreasonable is it to actually live in a timeshare?
The reality of timeshares is that they're like almost a scam,
right? Yeah. And then like they you still you don't really like the yeah. the lie that they tell people is like you're owning a chunk of whatever.
Yeah.
This is your little hotel room in Hawaii or whatever. And then it's like, and then what it really is a contract to pay for your vacation ahead of time for 20 years.
Yeah,
right. honestly,
like if you prepay, you can save you know 10% off of the base sticker price of this hotel room. But then, you know, we'll change the fees around so that those will go up and you won't be able to opt out at that point because you already signed the sign on the dotted line, whatever.
Oh,
right.
No.
Yeah, I've been grateful whenever our grandma has let us use her timeshare, but then when she was like,
right.
hey, do you guys want to buy this? Like,
hell.
I was like, nah.
Yeah. If we inherit ours from our grandmother, we're selling them.
Uh-huh.
They have a timeshare?
They have the Disney,
the Disney ones.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what that is.
It's exactly the same as a
yeah,
timeshare.
It is.
I didn't realize that.
And down to, like, you can even use them in other places. Like, they
yeah,
have
yeah.
You can, they have resorts in Hawaii and, like, other, like, you can...
They have hundreds of thousands of dollars
I'm sure
in
they,
this.
They do, but I didn't realize that they actually, quote, own property there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, Yeah, don't. There's my advice to anyone out there. Don't buy a timeshare.
Yeah, right. That's
just
right.
I mean, we're not going to give much sound financial advice here, but I think that's pretty good.
Most of our advice so far has been fairly sound.
Yeah, but on top of everything else, the thing about that is the thing that I always come down to. Like, there's so many things that you can't opt out of in the American economy.
Yes.
Like that's why healthcare is so fucked. Like,
right.
I can't choose not to have cancer. Like, I'm just like, oh, I'll hold my consumer dollars for, like, what? Like, shut the fuck up.
That's the problem, yeah, with any type of insurance, especially.
But with shit like a timeshare, it's like that is incredibly valuable to, like, look, maybe I'm not going to go out of town this year, and I'll save, you know, a couple $1,000 that I can use on whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
We're going to go somewhere else this year.
Yeah, right, or exactly.
Right.
Maybe I don't want to go to that one resort that I like that one time 5 years from now or whatever. Like, right.
You don't know where you're going to go yet.
I definitely don't want to commit to it 10 years in advance.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, so in instances like that where it's pretty easy to keep your options open, I would suggest that you do so. And again, especially for like, and that this is, I get that from my, like my mom a lot too, is like, you know, I'm always hunting for a deal.
Yeah, you guys are insane.
So if you can be flexible about that shit too, like you will both not be committed to spending that money up front, and you can pay the same price or less if you can be like a little choosy about like what times of year you might be able to take off and shit like that.
If you don't care where you go.
For sure, yeah, roll the dice. Like, I'm just going to go on Delta and scroll until I see a flight under $100 and then I'm going to take it.
I bet there's going to be a lot of that in the next... Maybe not in the next year, but in the next 6 months.
There has been a lot of that.
Yeah. Especially leading up to now, but that's going to relax over, like I said, 6 months.
I get a lot of emails from, like, Southwest, and it's like, fares are like $48.
Please help us.
Sweetie, no.
I'll take you wherever you want to go.
Anywhere.
I might
literally
go on a
anywhere.
Vacation sometime in the next couple months.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy stuff. But yeah, it's a, like I said, it feels even almost like, it feels weird in a different way. Like, we're at the height of the pandemic, it was like, well, everything is super fucked and nobody knows for sure when it's going to end. And now it feels like the calm before a different storm almost, where it's like things feel kind of normal-ish, relatively speaking. But
there's
like,
going to be a lot of whiplash.
But right, but like, it feels like things are going to get
up the mess.
Feels
yet.
Like things are going to get fucked again.
Yeah,
in the not super distant future.
I've weathered a lot of that at work recently because this past weekend we opened our buildings for the first time to the public. Like, we've had them closed while we've been open since like mid-April, and the amount of people who are like, "Oh my god, I can't! I'm so happy you guys are open again. Things are starting to get back to normal," and I'm just like, I'm still sitting here in a mask, far away from the counter that I should be working at, because I don't trust any of you.
Right.
And just the fact, people are just so, like...
Nobody wants to hear
like,
that.
Yeah, they're chomping at the bit.
People
and like,
ready.
I get
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, like, Karen, we're still in a pandemic. Like,
yeah. But again,
down.
Like, it's
have a little
like,
empathy towards the situation.
Yeah,
yeah,
I totally...
Like,
it's
be,
a...
Like, be sympathetic or whatever. Like,
that's the kind of thing where, like...
Aware.
I both get it, and like I said, I am gonna...
It's all older people. It's like, I would say at minimum, like mid-50s and up are the people who have been like, oh my god, I'm so happy. These are like people you would be like, yeah, you weren't wearing a mask this entire time.
Right.
But you know,
but
some
now
of
no
them
one judges
some,
me for it.
Yeah.
Some of them would have been, to
some
be fair. Because
sure.
like the people you work with range from like
been.
A few years older than you to like much older than you, and everybody in your workplace seemed to take
like,
things pretty seriously.
Yeah, they have
but
to.
But they aren't like, oh my god, I'm so glad things are getting back to normal. Like, I'm saying like that, the people who are saying that right now
sure.
are most likely the ones who are pushing back.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I totally give you the room to like just feel weird about that in general. Because I still feel bad about everybody who's working... Like, and something that is as frontline as you're doing, or fronter, like in food service and like grocery and stuff like that.
Like, pulled back even. Like, we're like, we're not essential as hell.
But like Phil was kind of saying, at the same time, I won't begrudge people for just feeling
like,
some relief that there's finally like a little tension relieved at this point.
The fact that you're doing it at Greenfield Village, like,
yeah,
you know,
well, and some
like,
people,
it doesn't matter. Like, this is, you don't have, this is not a place you have to go. This isn't like the grocery store. This isn't like a hospital or somewhere more important. This is a vacation, like a relaxing place that you're going to. And like, I'm sure, like, when we've had like the door closed, like the presenters were outside, and I'm sure they got a lot of flack for that. But one of the guys we had presenting yesterday was just like, going on and on about how great it is that we're open again, and how he was so upset that so many people were disappointed that we were closed, and I'm just like
frustratingly enthusiastic.
That was, oh god, I could write a book about what was wrong with him yesterday, but I won't do that because that I don't need to be
that won't help
scathing.
You feel better.
No, it won't help me feel better, but just like,
breathe it away into the wind.
Yeah, I understand the feeling, because I'm fucking there too, but I'm also still terrified about my health and all the people I care about's health to, like, just flagrantly, like, go somewhere like that and be so, like, vocal and open about how great you are, how happy you are that masks aren't a thing anymore.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Like, yeah, it's harder for me to relate with that. Like, I understand people have a lot of cabin fever built up over a year, and they want to go out and do something.
Yeah.
But, like, I would still wear a mask pretty much anywhere right
yeah.
now. Anywhere you might be interacting right. with people you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's kind of a common courtesy.
Yeah, like right. it's the same thing for me. If employees at a place are wearing masks,
you
I'm going to wear a mask in those spaces
absolutely.
Because those people can't choose to not be there.
Exactly.
Like, they have to show
right.
up and get their paychecks and pay their bills.
Probably still requiring it. Like,
right.
Most places of business are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
for their employees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Employees is... what I was getting
and
at.
You have no idea if those people were unable to be vaccinated
yeah.
for some, you know,
yeah,
for
right.
reason or whatever.
Yeah,
even if they intentionally didn't get vaccinated, I'd still want to, you know, help them maintain health. Like,
yeah. And also, like, I'm still protecting myself.
Right.
Like,
uh-huh.
It's both a courtesy and a safeguard. Like,
because mm-hmm.
there's still a bunch of kids that haven't gotten vaccinated.
Right. They're just
like,
now getting the, like, the 12-year-olds.
Yeah. At least
right,
in
yeah.
Michigan.
Moving,
I don't know how.
Moving down.
You know, like, we get a lot of people from out of state.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't know where your
yeah,
customers are
like,
from.
We've come so far in this, it'd be stupid to fumble it on the 1-yard line while we spike the ball.
I mean, that's what
the
people want.
The data shows that we are.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
yeah. And
of course
that's
we are.
I really like that some states are doing the lottery thing that they're doing.
Yeah, it's such a good idea.
Yeah,
like, why not?
I've seen stuff
like
that.
For,
it's
like
literally,
it's just a lottery.
If you get vaccinated, one of you will win $1 million
yeah.
or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like we're gonna draw lots, and some person who got vaccinated is gonna get a bunch of money.
Cool.
Right.
I'm annoyed by those because, you know, nobody gave me shit when I got a vaccine. Like,
sure, and
well,
I'm like,
I did it for
you can
the,
blame
because
the state
it was
of
the
Michigan.
Right thing to
right.
do.
Yeah. And I'm down for either do that or just offer people small cash up front. Like,
know,
give people $50 to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Just like, all right.
The thing is, if you're a government, you can quantify how much it saves you to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
for every person that gets vaccinated,
right.
it saves us $180.
Yeah, right. The cost
like,
of the cost of that expenditure one time versus like however many like,
right.
especially for some of those states in the South that have even
yeah,
more,
right.
even worser vaccination outcomes. Like
one.
Like
right.
two more outbreaks are going to cost you like so much more money.
Millions
than,
of dollars. Businesses go under when things like that happen. You
yeah.
have health costs rising. You have people who can't get hospital beds. You know,
yeah.
all that stuff costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to bribe people to get vaccinated, then
yeah, right.
that's better
like,
than them not getting vaccinated.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at a point now where the people who are going to get voluntarily vaccinated, they all
happened.
Did.
Yeah.
They already did.
Right.
Most of them.
Yeah.
So.
Sure, anybody who's left has either some level of, you know, reticence about the whole thing, or they
right.
they have, like, super, like,
yeah, they have
time or time or space constraints. Like,
right.
medical constraints.
They work
like,
such
yes.
weird... Right, well, that too. Like, some
yeah.
people, like... Like it right if you're
right,
immunocompromised
if you're pregnant
or whatever.
Yeah.
yeah.
But you know, if you live in a place like, you know, if you live in a relatively low income area that's like, you know, a food desert and stuff like that, I think it's fair to assume that like your access to vaccinations is gonna be worse than if you you know, live to a more prosperous, more
right.
like heavily populated area
yeah.
and shit like that.
Funny how it works that way.
Hmm. Interesting.
And just the ability to, like, you know, fit it into your schedule. Like,
yeah.
it's just harder if you work a weird
especially
hourly
because,
job.
Like, it's
right.
two. Like, a lot of them, it's two. Everything
yeah,
except the Johnson & Johnson is two different shots. So that's two
right.
different days. And they recommend you, like, wait at least even, like, a day or two after both.
Yeah.
For,
and, right,
like,
and depending on what... And depending
like,
on, like...
You can't do that.
Like, if
yeah.
I had, if I had to work a job that had me, like, on my feet or working outside or something that day after
yeah,
that second
thought.
Moderna shot, I would have just laid down in the road. I would have been like, whatever, this is what happens to me now. If someone
right.
runs me over, that's fine.
A guy I worked with tried it, and it didn't go well for him.
Yeah,
he went home early.
Okay, that's good that he was at least able to do that, like...
He was useless.
Yeah.
More useless than normal.
Damn!
I was able to schedule the next day off.
Right,
but
yeah.
also had no side effects, really.
Mm.
Especially for the second one, I had none at all.
I intentionally did it in such a way that I wasn't going to work for a few days.
Yeah.
yeah.
I was luckily enough to have, like, my weekend
good thing.
Was around the shots both times, which was very nice.
That next day sucked.
To what Dustin was saying, like, in disadvantaged areas, they also have to travel further.
Yeah.
Like, there are not as many vaccine locations, but also, like, messaging and education about it is minimalized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you
yeah.
don't have as many people reaching out and trying to get you vaccinated.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking specifically to, like, the Metro Detroit area, like, our situation around here, like, yeah, you can kind of get anywhere if you technically
uh-huh.
use the public transit that exists, but it also fucking
yeah.
sucks ass.
Yeah.
Like,
right, exactly.
like, we could
yeah.
get out to you guys on buses if we had to, but it would take, like, 3.5
yeah.
hours
right.
or whatever.
Right.
Like,
you switch twice and walk 5 miles.
Which, like, you know,
yeah.
you can do it, but it's a shit experience.
Mm-hmm.
Also, your exposure to COVID during that experience.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
spend
it's
money
a,
to make money.
It's a whole thing.
Oh, gotta spend COVID to make COVID.
Right.
So yeah, all that stuff put together. So like, yeah, this is going to be the hardest going for both of those reasons. Like, it is hard to like get into the cracks and grab those people who like are willing to do it, but you just got to touch base with them.
Not right. to like this is a slightly different work story, but one of our presenters this past week had called off one day because apparently she shattered one of her teeth.
Ouch.
And she came in the next day with like a temporary crown or something put on. They're going to do something more to it.
Okay.
But she was like, I found out over the quarantine that I was clenching my jaw a lot. And she's like, that's generally a like symptom of anxiety. And she's like, I've never seen myself as a very anxious person. She's a very like bubbly kind of like a lot to deal with sometimes. But I wanted to laugh. I'm like, no shit, you were anxious. Like, gestures at the world. Course you were. Like,
you were ready for this anxiety attack over the last year. Some of us have been living in it their entire lives.
Some of us have been dealing with this level, if not worse, on occasion, like depending on like your personal life and whatever.
I have some amount of sympathy for like the outgoing, extroverted people of the world like, the last year. Like,
quite a transition.
For me, it wasn't that much worse than the average year, personally.
More. It was just more.
More existential dread, but not a big lifestyle change.
I wasn't going out Friday night anyway.
I saw a dentist a few months ago, and he said I was clenching my jaw when I was sleeping, and I've never done that before, so.
I've never
been told I do that before.
How would you even know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Have a good dentist.
I bite my lip in my sleep sometimes. I wake up, I got a big cut on my lip.
Oh,
that's less permanent.
Yeah, right, I guess.
It's always kind of weird. Like, I did it again.
I've seen that before, and I just always assumed it was like, shaving or something, or just chewing and
really missed on shaving.
Just real big mastication over here.
I've done that.
Excellent word use.
Thank you.
Yes.
Man.
Uncontrollable mandibles.
Insect-like instincts.
Oh my gosh.
What we're talking
I hope
about.
Get better.
Yeah.
Just... Well, here's my transition, and over the course of this conversation, I realized that I know where I'm going to go with this now.
Okay.
So like now that we're kind of transitioning out, I want everybody to just offer up something that they've been doing recently that is either like a new thing or just like some other return to form, just like something that it's either you've been actively participating or that's even just been on your own mind a little bit. Because for me, it's been twofold of like when I talked about before, just getting back into like some amount of like physical self-care, eating a little better and getting into like a more reasonable exercise routine and shit like that has been part of it for me. And then the other part was just dipping back into like music kind of in general, period. Because that's what I do if I'm out walking. I just have something going in headphones for the duration.
Yeah.
And over the course of the pandemic, while we were in like hard lockdown, I didn't really listen to that much music. Like I would put on soundtrack stuff sometimes, or just like maybe queue up, you know, some random shit on YouTube or whatever. But mostly it was like watching stuff or listening to podcasts or like I don't know. I just didn't, I didn't listen to that many, like, that much actual, like, music over the course of the minute, or whatever reason, but now that I'm getting back into the times I would listen to it most frequently, which would have been, you know, like, commuting, like, in the car, which I'm still not really doing right now. Or just, like, out about in the world, exercise and stuff. And so I've both rediscovered, I've rediscovered things that I used to listen to, like, not that long ago, like, in the, you know, 10 years ago, maybe, or whatever, and then just stuff that, like, dipping back into stuff that I remember from, like, childhood on, I guess, like, it's been a lot of, like, because and the other thing that got me thinking more about this, like, in the practice, the exercise stuff got me doing more of it, but the other thing that got me thinking more about it was, Lori and I have been making our way through the Ken Burns documentary series on country music, and I have zero background.
That's an odd thing
with country music.
We've watched so many other of his documentary series on like the national parks.
Yeah, and I've still been like
baseball,
working on.
We watched the baseball.
Good
one,
source
thing.
Of information.
Yeah, I've still been trucking away on like trying to do weird random shit on YouTube and just like watching a documentary thing is this is giving me the mood to like write kind
of
this kind
of
shit. Yeah. And it's actually given me some slightly different perspective on Ken Burns too, honestly. Because I still like what he does and that like Have you ever had a shitty history teacher?
Yeah.
They just say, they'll pull up a slide and say, these things happened on this year, and it's going to be on the test, and then they move on to the next year or whatever. Yeah. So if you can't spin a narrative to someone, you really can't teach them history in a way that they're ever going to care about it or remember it. And he still does a good job at doing that shit.
Yeah, the presentation of facts in those documentaries is always very good.
But at the same time, for like the country music one or like the baseball one specifically, if it's anything where you can tell that this came from his love of the subject, he's just a little uncritical for my tastes. He's just
if it's the things
where you're like, all right, I can tell that Ken Burns really loves this thing. It's very much a like coddling love letter to the art form or the sport or whatever it is.
Right.
But especially with this one, that has made it a little uncomfortable in some places, like with a lot of like the older origins of country music and like gospel and
And there's
probably
a lot of
be more blacker spaces where he's just like kind of whitewashing it.
There's a lot of that old school classic liberalism that I think is really going out of style these days, where it's like, we're all trying our best. White people contributed to the music and black people contributed to the music, and that's great. And we never bother to look at like who got the most back in raw money and power and influence from that. Like we just say that like, look, it's a way we came together. End of statement.
Or even like what the purpose of the music was.
But yeah, it's very like melting potty and a non like so not like bothering to say that like America is made up of lots of different people and then not bothering to like think about which kinds of those people get the most out of the American experience.
Mm-hmm. Right. Country music's a weird place to even have that sort of discussion.
Yeah.
Well,
isn't mentioned.
Most of the people who watch that
are gonna
be people like that. They're gonna be like old school, like, you know, like cosmopolitan liberal types, or they're going to be people who just really like fucking country music, and I'm not either of those things. Mm-hmm. But I still like documentary filmmaking.
I just like documentaries, man.
Yeah. but specifically, the other reason I wanted to dip into it with Lorraine is because she does have some of that. Like your family listened, because like I said, we never got any of that shit ever. Like Justin used his dad used to listen to country music.
I mean, my history with it, like, I think it was a lot more classical, like, or, like, older. I don't know if it's classical. I don't...
Whatever.
I don't know anything...
Classic, what, country music?
I don't fucking know what that word means.
It's fine.
Anything from before the 80s.
Yeah,
early era country.
I think a lot of that, like, because I know my mom liked Patsy Cline a lot.
There you go.
That is more of my experience with, like, their actual taste, because I feel like my dad got into it around 9/11.
Which, yeah, you know, that sounds about right.
The best era of country.
The part that I like hate the actual most, because it's just it's so just. Ugh. And I was actually talking to Dustin about this the other day. I've got like I listen to Pandora a decent amount. Like I've got a like their lowest tier subscription, so I don't have ads.
Right.
And I listen to that a lot at like work or when I'm just like hanging out. And before we started watching this, I had actually like built myself a country station, just because there are certain like artists that I do like, and none of it is that era of country music. But going back to it has been kind of fun, because like I don't own most of these like albums or anything. Like I don't go out of my way to buy country music.
Sure.
But being able to like hear songs, kind of like what you were saying, like discovering stuff that you hadn't heard in a long time, like it puts me back in a time. Like between that and the like mid to late 90s, early 2000s, like pop in general, like alternative and a rock hits stuff that I've also been listening to on that has been a lot of fun, because those are also songs. Yeah. there's a good amount of Britney on there, let me tell you, unabashedly. But like that's been over the course of like between like late 2019 to now, that has been something I've been going into. So it wasn't distinctly as influenced by the pandemic, but it definitely came more into play through that.
Yeah, and the parts of that documentary where they flit over, where they show like kind of the crossover points where like that music came together with other stuff that was happening in the pop culture at the time, like that's the kind of stuff that hit over for me, because growing up I remember like the music that I would listen to as a child, basically until I got enough autonomy to buy CDs to put in my CD player.
You never bought cassette tapes?
Or made your own cassette tapes?
Yeah, we owned them, but that was still like when my parents were like buying music that would put on, we would have cassette tapes. Like by the time I was taking my own dollars and giving them to a person and acquiring music, it was CDs for sure.
I bought a cassette tape.
I don't think I did either.
Yeah, like
I had a few, but I think they're like homemade crap.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I was gifted cassette tapes, I feel like.
But yeah, when we were like, listen, as a child, from like I said, like 1 to like I don't know, 10 to 12-ish, it was all it was like like golden oldies, like, cuz they would listen to WOMC when it was like 50s and 60s, like pop music basically. Mm-hmm. Like up through like 60s and 70s, like pop and folk. So it was a lot of like you'd hear Buddy Holly and Elvis and like the Temptations and fucking shit like that, like a lot of Motown cuz Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm all the way up to like my dad was big into folk music for a period, so
that
it was like
surprise me.
A little Bob Dylan, like Jim Croce. I'm trying to think of who else. Like they both liked fucking John Denver, who is like the goofiest. Like I do like some of those John Denver songs, but he's a goofy fucking goober of a man. Like it's very you know, it's music that I would be super embarrassed to say I could tolerate any of it when I was like 14. That now I'm like, there's a handful of these songs that I really remember fondly just because they got played around when good shit was happening. my most vivid memory of trips to Cedar Point that doesn't involve the park whatsoever was on one of the drives back having American Pie come on and like play through, and and that song is like 8.5 minutes long, and it ended at like exactly the moment we pulled back into the driveway to get home at like 11:30 at night or whatever the fuck it was, because it's a 2-hour drive back or whatever. Yeah, it's a lot of shit like that, and like, and maybe even remember like recent nostalgia, like when Guardians first came out. I think a big part for me of liking that that movie so much is that movie has a ton of that like 70s pop that like, not necessarily those specific songs that some of my parents were way into, but that sound of like my mom was way into like the Carpenters and shit. It's this pop music of the same era that soundtrack is culled from. That I was like, oh man, there's just like, I remember things.
I think that's why that soundtrack did so well.
Sure, yeah. Right. And then to segue into like I said, the music from me, like that, like I got back into my own like popular music history of like, all right, I'm gonna listen to, I'm feeling belligerent and political. I'm gonna listen to a lot of metal and a lot of fucking like mildly aggressive punk music. I learned this week that Rise Against has a new album coming out.
What?
And that's like I haven't listened to them. Like I haven't listened to new music from them since like 2010 probably. But but that is the soundtrack of like this music is literally exactly how I am personally feeling. Like Rise Against is a punk band from Chicago that like they are like white middle class socialists basically. like listening to Rise Against is the soundtrack you play for yourself when you want to like throw a brick through a Lowe's, loot that Lowe's, and then use the context that you looted to vandalize an Applebee's in the parking lot. like it's like and honestly, and so like the other revelation I came to is that like some of the stuff that people would call like, especially people who are like fucking not boomers, what's the generation after that?
Xers.
Gen Xers would call like poser, like when people used to say punk pop in a very derisive roll their eyes at like Green Day and Blink-182 and shit like that. But I'm like, in many ways the frivolity of this music is more honest than like when people were fronting like, oh yeah, I'm going through some severe hardship that like we had that conversation online too, that like I could definitely get out of it if I just called my dad and he would wire me some money. Whereas like I listened to Dookie a lot as a teenager, and that album is just about not knowing what to do with yourself and jerking off a bunch. Like, this is very authentic to my 14-year-old experience right now. Like this is absolutely what I feel like.
God, that's me.
So yeah, that's where I've been. That's where my like immediate like as I'm slipping into like, I don't even know what to call it. Like it's not normal, but it's like a post the harshest era of the pandemic. Yeah. That's what I've been doing with my time.
Right.
Just thinking about and listening to a bunch of music that has been sprinkled throughout my lifetime. But what about you guys? Lorraine, you kind of talked a little bit. Is there anything you've done that's not music-related recently that you've just kind of been thinking about or fiddling with or thinking about doing at some point? Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to...
I don't, like, thousand-yard stare.
What about either of you guys? Has there just been any... Like I said, even if it's not something you're actively participating in right now, just something that's been on your mind, throw it out there. I just feel like I've been in an interesting mental space as we have started to come down
reawakening.
From the... Yeah, it's just been weird.
On a nonstop roller coaster ride in terms of mental space.
Yeah.
Like, the pandemic's hard enough, but then all the other stuff that's happened.
Yeah, you know, that's true. Well, and honestly, that was a little part of it for me, too, because, like I said, I was just like, you know, hear about some other things that are going on with people, and I'm like, yeah, I just, like, I gotta go see my grandma at some point.
Right.
Because
yeah,
she's not gonna
yeah.
be around that much longer, so I gotta get out there and, like, you know, say hey. And
Right.
Yeah, that's what
I
think.
That was a feeling that was already amplified at the start of the pandemic.
Yeah, and it just, you know, it gets worse the more you see bad shit happening that you wish wouldn't be happening.
Right, exactly.
It's the fun of just getting old.
Yeah, something like that.
The joys of age. trying to think if there actually
there's anything else. Yeah.
I played basketball today and went to a Taco Bell. It's like...
the most normal day, in a good way, that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, how was the basketball? Was it
hot? It was really hot.
Sluggish.
Yeah.
I hyperextended my elbow playing softball the other day. So playing basketball was not normal. We didn't play like a game. We were just kind of running around. We played horse. And,
yeah, you had to stop horse because nobody got a letter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. We all hit every shot.
How crowded were, like, how many people were kind of out and about around you guys?
Not a single person there, I believe.
Okay. Interesting.
Which,
I mean, you were out
there,
like,
a lot.
Yeah, you were out there, like, early-ish for a Sunday. Like, people don't want to get up.
And I think it was too hot.
Yeah, the heat of being early on a Sunday.
I think a lot of people was out walking, biking. But
I exercise in that area, like, 3 times a week now, because it's, like, the one thing I can do that I know I'll feel good about. And there's always people there. Usually not a lot, usually just a couple, but there was nobody there today, so
okay. Yeah, that's interesting, because yeah, I've seen a lot of that around our neighborhood too, just people
right
just kind of like tons of kids playing basketball at the basketball courts and going fucking around at the skate park and shit.
Went to a baseball game 2 weeks ago.
You told us about that a little the day that went down.
It was actually before they even opened up the stadium, but still, just, you know, I went outside, I did a thing.
Wow. Yeah, I could stand to go to a some kind of sporting event or something, too. Shit, why not?
What a sport.
I felt super crummy that day and did not go
in. Especially baseball, because it's like, you know, well, if it's a sunny, shitty day, maybe, like, so. But generally, being outdoors is like, yeah, I'm all about that.
That's the best part.
Yeah, that's nice. I don't know. Like I said, it's just been a really thoughtful couple of weeks.
For sure.
Looking forward to going to a movie in a few weeks now.
We can go. We can go see
Black Widow finally.
Long anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of things that like of movies, I segue into that a tiny bit, because I am really looking forward to going back into a movie theater for sure.
Yeah.
But like in everybody's like experiment to see what will sell or won't in terms of like selling exclusive access on streaming platforms and stuff, I couldn't fucking believe that Disney is charging like a premium to watch that live action Cruella movie on Disney Plus.
Because
when the trailer for that like floated past my eyeballs on YouTube or whatever, it was like, oh, this is like some made for TV shit that they're gonna put on their streaming service, and like, nope, it was originally always scheduled to come out of theaters, and then now also they'll let you pay $30 to watch it on their streaming platform.
Gotta hold the line on that.
Yeah, I was like, why?
Who heard that movie's not good?
Yeah, I haven't heard much.
I just can't imagine like for those movies, like when they did that Dumbo remake too, I'm like, who the fuck is gonna like go to the mat for Dumbo in 2020 or whatever?
Right.
Like,
I mean, even Mulan didn't do that.
they're just working their way through their catalog at this point.
They'll do everything.
Makes even more sense.
Yeah,
but yeah, I was like, just who is 101 Dalmatians is the movie that like I definitely needed to know more about the background of this movie about skinning puppies.
What I've read is that they like kind of rewrite her character to be
like a girl boss.
Like a character you root for in that movie, which is nonsense because she is like objectively evil in the actual 101 Dalmatians movies.
And that's like a pain point for people in general, like in pop culture. Like, people just don't want to see dogs get hurt in things. So making that character the one that, like, all right, we're going to give her a more sympathetic bent.
Right.
That's a tough sell.
Like, for the dog murderer.
Right.
Like,
in that movie doesn't do a single positive thing at all. She is just objectively evil.
And they already, like, remade these movies with live action.
Yeah, they did those,
like,
that's why this is a prequel instead of a,
You can't actually remake it again.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I have heard there's a potential, or I saw something that there was a potential for, like, a sequel to this movie that is both a somehow, like, midquel sequel type deal for her, and I'm just
it's not gonna happen because that movie didn't
it
do
fucking
well.
Better not.
But yeah, they left it open.
Good.
Of course.
I'm looking forward to the Dalmatian Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
there's
seems real dumb.
There's
so many stories to tell.
Uh-huh. And then,
amazing.
Man, am I looking forward to going to the movies again. That's
Me
gonna
too.
Be fun. And then just thinking about other movie stuff, especially now down the Disney Plus hole, as I did finally watch
hole?
This is my other podcast, The Plus Hole.
Oh, no.
Yikes. Don't Google.
Bend over and give you my movie opinions. I watched that fucking Mulan remake, and in more than anything, it is just extremely boring.
Okay.
Like, that movie is fucking dull as dishwater.
Dishwater gets ducks clean. Dishwater ain't dull.
Dishwater, we got a purpose.
Yeah.
I almost couldn't believe
dishes
how just, like, nothing it was.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is just kind of... I
mean, the thing with all those Disney movies, for me at least, is, like, you lose the charm of animation and the way
that
tells the story
for
just live-action nothingness.
Too.
Yeah, and once you take the, like, the music out of them, like, like I said, I think there's a case to be made for, like, making a live-action Mulan movie without the songs and, like, really putting something in there to replace it, but it doesn't have that either. It's just a really boring movie that now also doesn't have, like, music that gets caught in your ears sometimes.
To Kyle's point, that's why I'm always baffled that The Lion King got a remake, because it's still animated. It's just animated in a more realistic
Same
way.
Same with, like, The Jungle Book, honestly.
And it just costs its charm.
Apparently,
it does nothing.
The Lion King movie made big gold
money. They make a lot of money just because it's just The Lion King.
Yeah,
it's one of the most popular movies ever.
I've not seen any of these.
Every version of Lion King has made, like, a disgusting amount of money because they had that one. And then it also made, like, I think almost $1 billion. We went... when they re-released the original cartoon in theaters again. They either put it in 3D or they just put it out because for the
something
anniversary
like
of something
like
or whatever.
That, yeah.
And that re-release of the animated film made like billions.
Yeah, I remember
Like it made hundreds of millions to almost $1 billion.
Disney knows.
Just
where
throwing
the money
it back
comes
onto the screen.
Right. No new crap. Just give us, you know, The Lion King and The Aladdin and The Cinderellas.
And we'll just keep buying up every other person.
And you'll keep
us.
Buying it.
Yep.
You dumb butthead.
At least they haven't torpedoed Marvel.
Not yet.
So far, so good.
You wonder how long that's going to go.
Yeah.
I know, it can't go forever. Maybe.
Iron Man reboot, 2029.
Right,
can't
they'll
wait.
Run out of popular
Kevin
characters.
Feige dies.
Yeah, or until
or something.
Tired,
well,
or
he's pretty young, so.
You never know, man.
I know.
And you never know what the breaking point is for Disney management either, because they've had such a stable string of like things that have performed like roughly to expectations or better. That does it just take one stinker?
What if Shang-Chi and Eternals both?
Yeah, if Shang-Chi and Eternals both come out and slightly underperform, is that enough to be like, all right? We got this.
We're done. Right.
You know who knows what's best? These executives, that's who.
The studio.
That's why people went to see this movie.
Yeah.
It couldn't perform in China. Get rid of it.
Yeah. I assume all of these are going to be just fine for the China censors. They're not going to risk losing out on that money, but...
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Shang-Chi's the one that, you know... I really wonder what sort of things they have to tiptoe around in that movie.
I bet no one says the word Tibet.
Well,
probably not. Yeah, I don't know. And then I'm, thinking back to other recent movie stuff, recent Disney stuff. Like I said, that's the baffling thing to me. It's not baffling. It's baffling to me as a person who has different priorities than the executives at the Walt Disney Company. But in terms of how they're earning their company, Cruella is this thing that is like a premium. You have to pay for this because it's tied into some fucking franchise from 15 years ago. Even longer than that for those other live action movies. But But the new Pixar movie is launching. Goddamn, what's it called? Do you remember?
No idea.
I don't know.
It's one about little kids who are sea monsters in Italy.
Oh yeah, that sounds fun.
But that movie's coming out for free on Disney Plus.
Huh.
So
they,
that's
really
weird. I mean, they did it with Soul too.
Yeah, that sounds like it might be a contract
thing. It's the same thing.
Right. I haven't done a good job keeping up on Pixar movies the last five
I haven't seen
or
a Pixar movie since Up.
I saw Soul and really enjoyed it. And other than that, I don't remember the last one I saw.
Luca is what that new one's called. Yeah, and that's out in a couple weeks. That's on the 18th of June.
This is the one where they get to flex their creative muscles.
Well, right, it's like...
It's
like what? It's a sequel for you and then like an original thing that we want to make, right? Like, that's kind
of... But they got two of those in a row, but I didn't have to sandwich Toy Story 5 in between there.
Sure. I really liked Onward. I think Onward
is
good.
Toy Story 4 was, I think, right before Soul.
It's right, Toy Story 4 and then Onward and then Soul. I have
Onward, right. I liked Onward. Onward is cute.
I haven't seen any of these.
Yeah, Onward is cool. You should watch it if you
I saw Coco, which is apparently great.
Coco.
Yeah, I need to see Coco.
Yeah, I think Coco was amazing.
Onward was one of the last things we considered seeing in theaters last year before it was because it came out right around our birthdays.
Yeah, we had talked
and
about
we were
that.
Like, oh, we're
they were
go, maybe, and then
they were advertising its release a couple weeks from now while we were in Florida in February.
There was stuff for it in Florida. Yeah. And then, we came back and we're like, oh, maybe we'll go see it. And they're like,
no.
Maybe we'll wait a week. And then that week, everything shut down.
Birds of Prey was the other thing that was in theaters at that time.
Uh-huh.
The sequel or, you know,
whatever.
The other version of that movie is going to come out
soon.
The Suicide Squad.
The gun cut.
Right, James Gunn's Suicide Squad.
That movie's probably going to be okay.
I bet it'll be better than the other one.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I heard that movie was bad.
I've heard it's one of the worst movies ever.
The first Suicide Squad is garbage.
Yeah.
Which you know.
Uh-huh. But yeah, that was, like I said, that just puts it showed the difference between what I feel is good about the things that Disney makes versus what the Disney executives think is good about
what sells toys.
But like, that's even the thing for me. Like, does Cruella sell toys? Maybe.
In this case, probably not.
But then it sells to a totally different audience of like, they're doing like a fucking... They're doing a fashion line based on the costumes in that movie. So I'm like, okay, this is for like the 30 and 40 year olds who don't have children who go to the theme parks. That like they can buy these outfits and go dress up and take fun pictures with the characters and shit.
You're saying it's for me.
Maybe. I'm speaking my language.
And that's not even a judgment against those people. I am one of those people. I'll go to a fucking Disney theme park.
You just like theme parks, though. It's not necessarily the Disney aspect of it.
Not necessarily. But like I said, the thing that I hate about those people is the thing I hate about people who call themselves gamers and every other stupid thing.
Someone who defines their self entirely by like
they're
a single interest.
They're a little
interest.
Too into it.
Yeah. And the thing there is that they have given up any...
any
introspection or any kind of like critical eye whatsoever, or it's like this is the thing that the single thing that I've decided defines my personality. So I'm gonna spend as much money on it as I can, and if anybody criticizes any part of it in any way, I'm gonna attack them viciously.
I was gonna say, you're gonna spend all day on Reddit just downvoting and angrily replying to posts that don't like that movie.
That's a defense mechanism about not having an identity.
Yeah, and the thing about that is like these are people. Who have gone beyond the realm of like consumerism to like worship of the products they're consuming.
Disney's especially bad about it.
And that worship makes the product worse.
Yes. Yep.
In every case, because they're not. There are no bounds for quality or anything of the sort. If you're just going to show up no matter what and put your money on the table and take whatever they give you,
it's the same thing as being like blindly patriotic no matter what is happening, or supporting a party no matter what they're doing.
Yeah.
If the people who
you've already made your decision.
If people need your support, either your money or your vote, and you're going to give it to them no matter what they do, then they're going to give you the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Like Bungie, maybe.
You're making a lot of sense.
You really tie that to a lot of different entities right now. But.
Yeah. And
brand
I guess
loyalty
brand loyalty. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. So, since we made it all the way back around to it, I'll state my last irritated theme park opinion,
Let's
and then we'll maybe call it a show unless other people have other thoughts on it. Anything, but the thing about with me with Disney and the theme parks, and actually this has like if you look on Twitter, the facade has cracked a little bit. Where like there are a more significant amount of people than I would expect being irritable that they're just like have stopped spending money on shit. Basically, they're like, all right, we're gonna charge the same amount or more, and we're gonna provide you the same or less services for that money.
Right.
But right down to the way that they're tuning this business again, that like I feel like they've got every tentpole of like the ways you can give money to the Walt Disney Company down to a science, where they're now segregating people out based on income.
Jesus
like,
Christ!
Like, well, in my mind, that's totally where they're going with the theme parks these days.
Yeah.
It's like
pass passes
look,
and stuff.
Well, yeah, because there's leaked stuff that they're going to start charging for those, which, you know, Cedar Point does that, Universal does that, but it still sucks because Disney hasn't before. Yeah, they historically haven't. It used to be, like, you can get them for free, basically, like, the day of,
right, and
if you're just any random person, and you can get them earlier, like, you can book them more earlier if you, like, booked a vacation, like, a resort with them, like, if you stay at one of the hotels.
Yeah. Special privilege.
Yeah, it was basically, like, a bonus for giving them even more of your money by staying on site or whatever.
Right.
And they haven't done it since the pandemic started, and now the idea is that they're going to charge, you know, $70 to $200 per person to be able to do it per day going forward.
Oh, my God.
And it's I bet they even come close to saying this in like their shareholders meetings and stuff. In my mind, they're like the past Disney, like when we were kids, like when my parents took us in the 90s, the pitch for a Disney theme park was that like, this is for anybody. We want everybody to come and spend their money here. Like, because we want the most money possible, so we want everybody to come and spend their money. Everybody should come and vacation here.
Right.
And the pitch now really seems to be, we want as few people to come as possible. We want the ratio of how many people come to how much money they're spending to be the only factor.
We only want to attract the
whales. Like if you want to come and not stay at our resorts and not buy, you know, $300 worth of merch a day, no thanks. You know, we have products for you. They're called like Disney Plus subscriptions and you know, maybe the occasional movie ticket. Like we've got a lower rung of Disney products for you, peons. But you know, if you make six figures or more,
please come in.
If you want to throw $60,000 at us to have your wedding here, like,
oh my God,
these are the people we want.
They're essentially like the most popular club in the city. Like they can have a bouncer who says like, There are people with more money than you in line behind
you.
You
must be this rich to
ride, right.
So why would I let you in?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then that's the thing is, like, that's the thing that really, like, they're both still, like, both versions of the Walt Disney Company were still giant capitalistic organizations that wanted to make money above all else. But but the philosophy from the 80s and 90s was, like, we want the most people possible, so we're going to expand our business. We're going to start the 80s with one theme park, and like by the time the 90s ends, we're going to have four.
Right.
Because we need more space to hold more people so we can get more people in here to spend more money. And relatively speaking, that is so much better and so much less like fucking dystopian than where they're at now, which is like, all right, the amount of new theme parks we're going to build is zero, even though we still have a shit trillion acres of land.
What if we had microtransactions on this ride?
Right, the amount of hotels we're going to build is infinite, because every time we put up a new hotel, we can sell more timeshares.
Conversation is full circle.
And if you're not the kind of person who can throw $1,000 per person minimum at like a theme park day experience, then we don't care about you that much. Like, sorry, I guess this isn't for you anymore. And I feel like at some point that's going to catch up to them relative to how the U.S. economy continues to do. But like the people in charge at that company right now just are incapable of...
They have dollar signs for
eyes. They just like can't commodify it in a way that isn't in any way equitable, which is, at least in the past, I feel like making a product that theoretically appeals to everyone is still much better than making a product that only... than making a $10,000 Apple Watch made of gold or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, good God.
This is what happens when every decision you make is dictated by how your shareholders will react.
Mm-hmm.
Is there's more building pressure exponentially and indefinitely to just make a little bit more money.
Sure.
And by the end of it,
if
that's
the
only thing they'll care
up,
about.
If the margins don't go up, you're not performing well.
And that's got,
it's your job.
Yeah, yeah. And on the top of all the things I just said, it's got to be a consistency thing, too. Because the kind of people, like...
Sure.
Basically, they don't have to convince anyone who's bought a timeshare to come to Disney World, because they're going to fucking come to Disney World. But if you still make the pitch that, like, every American family should come down and have a Disney experience, like, those people have to be marketed to.
Right.
Like, if you're an average family who thinks that Disney is fine, like, you have to spend money to convince them to come spend, you know, a couple days down there and have a vacation. But if you're preaching to the converted, it's like, all right, these people are in. They're going to show up regardless. So.
Right, yeah.
Like, you guys went last year. Like, what was the ticket price just to get in the door, even?
The base prices, and here's the other thing about that, is I picked the time we went because it was within that last couple months they had shifted from a... It used to be that all the tickets were statically priced, so no matter what day of the year you went, it was X dollars.
Flex pricing.
And then now it's flex pricing, where if you want to go on, like, Christmas Day, it cost like $400 or whatever. And we paid, there was a deal where it was like you could get 4 days for it averaged out to like $80 a day. That's which wasn't bad. That bad.
Yeah.
But the base ticket price was like $129 right. and up.
Yeah, right, $129 if you went that week.
Yeah, and if you went at the height of summer, it would be much higher.
Leave the park for another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
And that's like, you know, like I said, the one thing that when we got off of Rise at Star Wars, I was like, I would pay $130 to do that once. Like that experience was worth $130.
I would have probably paid that much to go to Animal Kingdom or close to it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And not to go to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. I felt the exact same way. And the thing about that park is that one is
or Epcot probably.
The Star Wars, was that part of Magic Kingdom or is that a different?
It's in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Which is
the part that needed the most help.
Yeah, Magic Kingdom, I think, has just been ruined because
it's not different than it was 50 years ago.
Yeah, and they won't expand. Yeah. Like, they wouldn't, like, that would be the example of, like, if they were going to build a fifth park, it should be something like Magic Kingdom just to suck some humans out of there.
Yeah.
Because it is so overrun all the time.
Yeah,
there's
awful.
Just so many bodies.
People just want to take pictures under the castle.
It's basically the most iconic part of Disney World.
That's why they can't touch it. That's why it can't be expanded. That's why it won't be any of those things.
And it's the oldest in terms of physical layout, so it doesn't have, like, it doesn't have as many or as, like, wide of physical, like, walking paths mm-hmm. as like
right.
Animal
it's
Kingdom
not,
does.
It's not streamlined in the same
no.
way.
Yeah, it's really gotten burdened by
it
just the infrastructure of it being
and
there
they
forever.
Can't touch it again.
And, mm-hmm. and like you said, and there's reasons for every single type of person to be there. Like you said, sure. If you're just a fan, you want to be there taking a picture with the castle. If you're a family, a lot of the good kid stuff is in that park. Like there's something for every single age group in that one, whereas I feel like the other ones are all a little more diverse. Like honestly, Hollywood Studios and Epcot are the two that are probably for older people, just because mm-hmm. Hollywood Studios has a lot of rides that the smallest children can't get on, and Epcot, like half of that park is just about eating weird food and drinking a bunch of shit.
Kids want nothing to do with it.
Me more than it ever has in my life.
Right.
I remember Epcot when I was 12 and being very bored.
I had never been, and when we went this time, I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Just the scenery, like, it was some nice ambiance in there.
Take that slow ride up the ball.
Yeah.
I know
we've said this a little bit before, but I hope they make an Ant-Man playground that's just the same as the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground used to be.
I remember the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Because that was the best part of that
party.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You could totally remember. The same thing.
Probably too dangerous now or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like a jungle gym.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was so big.
It was very, very curious. It felt big at the time.
When we get off here, I'll look up an old park map because I remember that too. Because that would have been in Hollywood Studios somewhere, but
right
I'm not sure when.
Star Tours.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Because Star Tours hasn't moved. That ride's still there.
Totally renovated.
They did redo it, but they didn't relocate it.
Yeah.
So it's in the same physical space as it used to be. Okay. And it's kind of like just outside. There's like Star Tours, and then there's the Muppet thing that's still there, and then there's Star Wars Land.
I remember the Muppet thing.
Star Tours still now has a robot goose.
Yeah,
right. Uh-huh. Yeah,
it's got robot geese in it. And Lando Calrissian shows up and asks for your help to go participate in that last movie.
In the worst scene of the worst movie of
this, 70-year-old Billy Dee Williams.
It was. It was absolutely. It was literally just like a headshot of him on a green screen that was like, "Hey, we need your help to come fight for the resistance."
Right.
And then you go
and then
do
you
that.
Do. Good.
Which, like, that was
funny. Give it a C-.
Yeah, right.
It was fine.
It was fine.
I remember really liking it, again, when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of dumb, but... It was
worth doing.
It's
sitting on the tilting seats in front of a screen.
I would have waited an hour to do it, but we spent like 20 minutes in line or whatever. It was fine.
We got to find out what country of origin other people in line were from and other private information.
Robot goose.
Is it holding a gun?
No, I think it's just
it's
like that
a,
weird
I
hand.
Know.
Right, I think it's like it's pretending to do maintenance
like a,
on something.
It's
like it's
computer.
Like a spot welder equivalent in the Star Wars universe.
Or gun fingers.
Yeah.
Like, pow, pow.
Hype as shit.
Yes, that's a goose. Anyway.
Him's a goose.
So yeah, I would love to do that again. but
I
again,
mean,
it just like
was so much fun.
Yeah, it was a great time. And it just, like I said, it breaks my heart more than anything that, like...
Some people
like I said, I'm in on, like... And this is a thing that I've, like... That, like, this is where, like, probably the only place where my, where my, like, true left-wing politics ends at this point is, like, I think frivolous experiences are worthwhile. straight up. Yeah,
absolutely.
Just like life is too short. Life is too short to only be focused on things that are utilitarian. Completely. You know what are frivolous? Video games. You know what are pretty good? Video games. Yeah. Like theme parks.
Any form of media or consumption or experience.
Yeah, and I feel like
things that give meaning to your pitiful life.
Yeah, those were like defining experiences. Like we did two back to back trips. We went in like 97 and 98, I think, to Disney theme parks as kids. And then we never went again until Lorraine and I went in 2016 or whatever. But like, I remembered that. Like, I remember parts of the layout of those parks when we went back to it just from those trips years ago.
Like, even, like, we were just saying.
Yeah, I remembered where everything in Magic Kingdom was. And,
like, it made a big impression. And, like, I think every kid should get to do that once.
In some way or another. Doesn't quite think
that
anymore. Like,
right,
Disney,
and the fact
just,
that...
They should be able to have some kind of, like...
A similar experience.
Yeah, just like a
or coupon day.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
Like,
100%.
Like, you like there should... Oh, my God. Fun should be a thing that isn't... Like,
well, and like
or,
I said,
like,
here's the other thing.
Down
that,
on.
Yeah, the other thing that I had mentioned while we were there, I was like, I know for a fact that like my parents didn't pay relatively this much to get us in here. Because the even more disgusting thing about the ticket prices for me was not just the whatever price the adult ones were, the kids' prices are like $5 less. So it's like if you bring
free.
A 6-year-old in there, it's like $115 still. Like, fuck you.
Yeah,
how malicious.
Shitty.
Like, God.
And their really chicken nuggets are going to be $15.
Right. Every time they need to stop to eat, you know, that's another $20 on a plate of chicken nuggets.
I want this plastic toy lightsaber. That's
$30. I was trying to work in the comment of don't buy the $70, $80, or even more than that, lightsaber.
The real one,
right,
which is
it's
actually
still
going to
be breaking by the time you get it home.
$100 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a mixed bag on, like, like I said, I do hope that, I'm looking forward to having more of those experiences again, especially post-COVID, but I'm also looking forward to hopefully... People withholding their dollars to some extent until they change some of this shit to some degree.
One of the things I've learned, like, in the past 5-10 years, especially with, like, the rise of mobile games, is they're not going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. If you give people an exploitive way to, you know, wail out on any given thing that they love, they will do it. And to such a degree that it will never stop. Like, Destiny transactions are the big one. Like, at least, you know, for our circle.
Sure.
Like, they make so much money on that. It doesn't matter how many negative Reddit posts or people that quit or people that, you know, send angry Twitter messages to DMG.
Yeah.
They will never get rid of it because enough people spend so much money on that that they can't afford not to.
Well, the other stuff is, like, here's the thing, because that, like, they... Some of their bigger policy change happened post 9/11 because that's when they took a big hit because people just weren't people were not in the mood to travel across country to go to populated places that terrorists might strike. Immediately post 9/11, it sure does, honestly. but that's the kind of thing where, like, you're right that it's very hard to change people's attitude that way, but their hand could be forced depending on what level of a shit the economy takes.
Yeah.
If the nature of the world around them forces them to change things, maybe they'll change some shit. But
the other thing is, right now, people have been wanting more and more to have these experiences and willing to pay more and more. But now, post-COVID, people who have done nothing for the last year,
right,
who are burning a bazillion dollars on baseball cards or whatever.
Here's my wallet. Take it.
They're
just gonna dump all my credit cards out of this counter, and you just keep swiping them until they don't swipe
no
more.
There's no stopping those people from going to Disney or going anywhere else. Yeah. Really,
it's gonna be a wild, close to a year.
Yeah, the next year is gonna be insane for
those
sorts
of things.
And right.
I wonder, going back to, like, the baseball card stuff, if that tanks because I can go do the things I actually want to do again.
Right.
Yeah. I need to liquidate some of my other assets so that I could pay for real things.
Right. I bought this Tom Brady rookie card for $3 million. Now I don't know what to do.
Tom Brady rookie card, not an asset.
I mean,
legally.
Tom Brady, an ass.
Yeah,
probably.
But
I don't know.
We'll see for sure.
He's
but
definitely an ass.
Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna say that those should be in, like, our collective. All those things. We should get a cabin. We should get a cabin this year at some point.
Yes.
We're gonna go to Cedar Point at some point this year.
Yeah, I would even do that pretty soon.
And someday we should all go back to Disney World, and when Nintendo stuff opens in Hollywood, we should go to California and fuck around with that shit.
God.
If it was more cost effective to go to Japan, for some reason, I really want to go to the Cat Cafe that's a Kirby Cafe.
I've seen stuff about
Where's that?
It's
somewhere
in
Japan.
Somewhere
Japan.
That, you know,
exists.
Japan.
Uh-huh.
We'll continue this frivolous thread. The biggest hit I feel like I personally took was the fact that we couldn't have our
five-year wedding anniversary
to Japan. Yeah. We had to cancel that trip.
Right.
Because last year it was 5 years since we'd been married and 10 years since we had started dating. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of our first really big anniversary.
Huge milestone.
And we were like, let's do this thing. And it was supposed to be in October. And then...
Whoops.
Yeah. That's worth celebrating.
Yeah, we've talked back around it a little bit. So we'll still do it someday.
I'm glad we at least, we skirted that Disney trip in. Like,
I know. Yeah, right. I'm so grateful for that.
I'm really glad we were able to do that, at all.
Yeah.
That
was part of that was just pure... biggest part of it was that I'm cheap. Because I was originally we were going to go in March, but I was like, oh, these tickets are $10 a day cheaper if we go in February instead. So
and I'm really glad you were able to come with us, Phil. That was so much fun.
Yeah, that was the best week in that span of a year, probably, or more.
It was one of them.
And it was awesome to, have you down there, and it was even fun to go pick you up and stuff, and it was just a nice,
I liked swimming and
nice couple days
and watching the thunderstorms.
Yeah, that one night where we were on the balcony and it was just storming was so cool,
and the weather was actually pretty good. It wasn't like fucked hot like if we were in Florida now, and it would be 95 or higher or whatever.
That's what I was thinking about going in February, is I think that makes the most sense anyway, just for weather.
So. Yeah, for sure. Again, that's if you're if you're a childless millennial, that's the time to go, because parents are less able to just yank their kids out of school for a week or whatever. To go.
Right, exactly.
Fuck around in Florida. I'm looking forward to all kinds of that stuff in the future.
Me too.
I think for the moment, unless anyone else has anything super pressing, we're going to call it a show.
Hug your loved ones.
Absolutely. And
support people in your life who are struggling or going through things. Yeah. Be patient with them.
And reach back out to people.
Reach out to people.
Try to go see people you haven't seen if you've all been vaccinated.
Yeah.
If you don't see your parents or whatever that often, just give them a call. Tell them you love them. Yeah, if you're on good terms. If you're not, that's fuck them. I don't know. Seriously, because I mean, some people there's abuse don't reconcile with people who just make your life more difficult. if you're being mistreated, don't. Family isn't thicker than bullshit.
I mean, some of them are, but
if you generally are on good terms with your family, just tell them you love them every once in a while.
Make sure the people important into your life know that they are important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that in mind,
whatever they may be, family can be whatever you make it.
Yeah, 100%.
Blood don't mean shit.
Family is at this table.
Hell yeah, absolutely.
High fives.
Yeah. With that, we were going to end the show with a series of high fives. We will see you later, Internet. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back with more of the podcast at some point. Good night.
Bye.